how important are nomads to modern society? Not very, you might think, since the nomadic lifestyle is a rare one these days. But wandering people have been a crucial part of the human story for millennia, and they've interacted with and influenced more settled cultures in fascinating ways. Now, journalist and author Anthony Satin tells this story in his new book, Nomads: The Wanderers Who Shaped Our World. Anthony is a contributing editor to Condé Nast Traveler and a fellow of the Royal Geographical Society. Here he is with five of his big ideas.
Hello, I'm Anthony Satin. I was brought up in England, but have spent much of my adult life on the move, particularly living and traveling in North Africa and the Middle East. I write books and journalism mostly connected to that region. But for the past 8 years, I've been working on nomads, the wanderers who shaped our world. The initial idea for this book came out of my years in the Middle East. It started as an ode to mobility and freedom of movement. But it grew into an alternative history of the world. I would like to share five key insights from this book. Insight 1. For most of history, humans have lived on the move. Until more or less 12,000 years ago, we all lived on the move as hunters or gatherers. My book opens around 9,500 BC, because that was when something extraordinary happened. At a place called Göbekli Tepe in southern Turkey, down near the Syrian border, a group of people who lived on the move began to build what seems to have been the first stone monument, cutting pillars 10 or 12 feet high out of the limestone bedrock. They moved and decorated them, and then raised them into a circle on a hillside with two taller pillars in the center. 7,000 years before the pyramids or Stonehenge, this was perhaps the beginning of humans reshaping the world around them, and it was achieved by people who lived on the move. It also seems to have been the catalyst that led to the domestication of crops, and then of animals, the creation of villages that turned into towns and cities. This is not the traditional view of how humans settled, but it seems that this process began as a result of mobile people wanting or needing to build a sacred site. Insight number 2. Because they are preserved by the written word, our histories only tell half the human story. A prominent Oxford historian once described history as a path picked through ruins. That's a neat image, and it's one that leads on from that first stone monument at Göbekli Tepe and conjures up the great ancient civilizations of Egypt, Greece and Rome, of Incas and Mayas, the glories of Renaissance Europe, the Chicago and New York skylines and all the rest. But this is a settled view of history, and it's one that relegates nomads, who don't usually build permanent structures or preserve their stories in writing, to the role of destroyers of monuments. Or else it leaves them out completely. For instance, our histories tell us about the glories of ancient Rome and of Han China. This is the period from the 200s BC to the 200s AD. But across the 4,500 miles between the eastern frontier of the Roman Empire and the Great Wall of China, the western frontier of the Chinese Empire, lay a vast, linked-up confederation of nomad tribes, who I believe constituted a mighty nomad empire. We know them as the Scythians, Sakas, Xiongnu, Hun, and other names, and they get no more than a brief mention in written histories, and then only to explain how the great Persian Emperor Cyrus lost his life, or why the Chinese built the Great Wall. As always, the story is more interesting and more complicated. Insight number 3. The great nomad empires were about more than murder. The nomads who are in our histories, most obviously Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan and Timur or Tamerlane, are usually presented as killers. And it's true that much blood was spilled. I'm not an apologist about this. But what we don't often hear about are the wonderful things that came out of these nomad-dominated times. The empires of Genghis Khan and Timur during the 12 and 1300s were the largest the world had known. They stretched from China across Central Asia to Persia and the Middle East. The laws that governed these empires were harsh. But at a time when much of the rest of the world was fractured and divisive, this huge central part of Eurasia enjoyed the benefits of a Mongol peace that was built on strong central authority, low trade tariffs, open borders, a network of post houses where you could get a fresh horse or bed and board for the night. With the right permit, you could even sleep in silk sheets. And there was freedom of conscience alongside freedom of movement. Out of this openness came the glories of the Silk Roads, and out of this Mongol flourishing came the European Renaissance, the voyages of discovery, the Age of Reason, and the creation of the world as we know it. Insight number 4. Settled people have always had a problem understanding nomads. Take Benjamin Franklin, a man of exceptional brilliance, a founding father of the United States and signatory of the American Declaration of Independence. He couldn't understand why settlers who had once sampled what he called the wandering life could never come home. This applied to women as much as to men. When a settler had been bought or brought out of captivity among Native Americans, after they'd been welcomed back into the community and in some cases helped with a gift of land or a house, invariably and before long, they would head back out to the wilderness. On the other hand, when Franklin and the good people of Philadelphia offered to pay to educate North American children in the settlement, to share with them the benefits of arts and sciences, the Iroquois elders refused, because when their children returned to camp, they would be good for nothing. The native elders understood the drawbacks of a settled education. The flip side of that incomprehension, and it's usually accompanied by suspicion, mistrust, even fear, is a sort of nostalgia for an earlier and what often seems a simpler way of living. It sits behind the writings of Greek and Roman philosophers who dreamed of Arcadia, just as it does in the writings of people such as Thoreau and more recently Bruce Chatwin. Insight number 5. Settled people need nomads. Settled people have always needed nomads, just as nomads have always needed the settled. For the past 12,000 years, since humans first began domesticating crops and animals and building monuments, the settled and the mobile have lived in mutual dependence. Now, more than ever, we settled people need nomads. Whether you believe the climate emergency is a hoax or a real and existential threat, there's no denying that our relationship with the planet we live on, with the natural world, is out of kilter. Nomads have remained constant in their understanding of their dependence on the forces that govern the natural world. And now, just as our climate is changing, would seem like a good moment to consider how nomads behave towards the natural world. I have also found it a good moment to consider some of the benefits nomads seem to enjoy. Living lighter, living in a roaming community based on mutual support, bound together by a shared lifestyle, but also by shared traditions and legends formed around campfires, committed to the cupped hands of memory. Perhaps most important in our troubled times, nomads seem to be more flexible in their thinking. Their world requires them to have a range of solutions for every problem. As our settled lives become ever more troubled, I believe this is a good moment to see the world through nomadic eyes. Thank you for listening. And for reading, I really hope you enjoy the book.
Thanks, Anthony. That was Anthony Satin with 5 big ideas from Nomads, the Wanderers Who Shaped Our World. For a contrasting look at human history, check out our book bite for 4 Lost Cities, A Secret History of the Urban Age by Annalee Newitz. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.